You're listening to DeBears Brothers podcast and postgame show, the place where Bears fans across the globe hang out online after every Bears game. Now get ready, because it's time to bear down.
Welcome back, Bears fans, to another episode of the Bears Brothers Podcast. I'm your host for tonight's show, Nicholas Moriano, and I'm joined by my co-host and my Bears brother, Brandon Hazlett. And obviously, we're breaking down this game, Bears-Dolphins, 31-28. We all know what happened, and we're doing this a little at an unconventional time. It's 9:30 right now, and obviously, as some of our listeners know, Brandon, Will, and I went to Miami to go watch this game. But Brandon, how you doing, man, and how was your trip in Miami?
Miami was great. It was nice being able to wake up, to 80-degree weather for two straight days there, because I came home and I could see my breath. So Will's still in Miami, so I hope he's soaking it all up because it's cold when he gets back.
Yeah, it definitely is cold. But I realized that there's no way in hell I could live in Miami, because we were talking about that while we were sitting in our seats. We would rather be at a cold game, have it snow, than be in that humid, hot weather. Lucky we had like a roofing right above us, because had the sun been glaring down on us like it was for some fans on the left side of the stadium, oh my goodness, that would have been awful.
Speaking of awful, we noticed on the sideline in the game, the guys that are holding up like the tarp thing, keeping the guys shaded, those guys, major like caps off to them. Like, I don't like, that's impressive. Like,
oh, yeah.
I'd be really freaking tired by the end of the day.
No, I mean, if we were sitting in that section where the sun was at, I would want my own personal guys having a little canopy or something right above us, because that would be brutal sitting there. Yeah. And, but the trip to Miami, I mean, it was really fun. I got to meet up with my friend who actually orchestrated this almost entire event for 30 of our fans to come and meet us. And it was funny, if nobody was watching my Twitter page on the night that I went to Joe's Snow Crab, and it's just a restaurant downtown South Beach. And it was funny because there's a bunch of Bears fans there. And as this group of Bears fans was leaving the restaurant, one of them says, "Bear down." And then someone says, "Bear down, Chicago Bears." So the fight song starts breaking out of nowhere. There's a lot of Bears fans there in Miami. So obviously Bears fans do travel well, but it was just a great time overall. Obviously, we wish the outcome was a little different, but what can you do? I mean, it was a great time seeing you, Brandon, Will, and just all hanging out with all the Bears fans. We got to meet so many fans of the podcast, take pictures with them. So it was a great time.
Yes, and I'd much rather lose by three in the last 3 seconds then go down there and get blown out. So it was still a good time overall.
Yeah, it was. So let's just get started with this, and we'll start it like every other postgame show and start with the first quarter. We'll already go in the fourth. Start with the first quarter. And since Will is not here, and to explain, he, like Brandon said, he is still in Miami and he would be on this podcast, but the internet at his Airbnb is not the best. So he chose to sit this one out and perfectly fine, enjoy Miami's having a little family vacation, so he deserves it. But for Will's monster moment, I'm actually going to take it a little bit of a different route here, and I'm going to go with the Albert Wilson touchdown that came after the Bears scored that touchdown to Anthony Miller, because the Bears obviously take the lead 28-21 at that moment right after Anthony Miller scores. And then after the kickoff, one play, 75 yards, Albert Wilson is just going down the sideline, breaking tackles, because the Bears, oh man, they just did not know how to tackle in yesterday's game. But to me, that was a big moment in the game, because there was about 3 minutes and 1 second when that play started, and one play, 75 yards, the game is tied. The Bears didn't have any opportunity to play any kind of defense, because one play and it was over with. It was a tie game, and we all know it went to overtime, and we all know what happened there. So I'm going to take that as the monster moment of the game, that Albert Wilson touchdown after the Bears take that 28-21 lead. But Brandon, do you have a stat for the game?
I was there for the game, and I'm going to go with three because the number of touchdowns that Mitch Trubisky's thrown, and that's also the second straight game that he's thrown for more than two. And prior to this, prior to the Tampa game, he didn't have a game where he threw more than one. So to see him throw two games back-to-back here at Tampa Bay, obviously he had six, and then against Miami he had three. It's nice to see him be able to see that statistic climbing. That's something that we've all been kind of waiting for. And I said, you know, just be patient with it. Pump the brakes on the hot takes. You know, just wait it out. He will turn into this quarterback that we kind of, you know, we're expecting to see. And sure enough, we've had back-to-back games now where he's thrown for multiple touchdowns. So stat of the game is Mitch Trubisky's growth in throwing three touchdowns in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that's great to see Mitch Trubisky, you know, improving, still showing progression. I actually have an article coming out tomorrow about that. And I'll give you my knock of the game, because with the loss, usually the knocks come. And it's just going to go with that defense overall. It just really wasn't what we were expecting coming into this game against Miami. Playing, well, right before the game started, Brock Osweiler starting, playing against a battered offensive line. There was no pressure. Just watching from our vantage point, where we were at in towards the middle corner of the end zone, there was just no pressure. It was like the defensive line was just playing patty cake with the offensive line. There was no getting to Brock Osweiler. He had time to throw. Obviously, there were very quick passes, but the defense just didn't show up today, and that's really disappointing. And also, the tackling goes along with that. These screen passes, these short, quick passes to the flats end up going and being big gains for this Dolphins offense, which, again, wasn't something that Bears fans, a lot of experts, you know, us, were expecting to happen against a Dolphins team that was, you know, injured. But that's going to be the knock of the game. Just the defense not coming up to play, just not showing up here in Miami, which was very unfortunate. And also a part in this first quarter, we give out our MVPs. So, Brandon, do you want to give out your MVP? It's probably on the fly, but do you have an MVP for this one?
Kyle Fuller. He had the two interceptions in this game. I think he's very well deserving of that. Didn't have any almost interceptions, as I pointed out to you during the game. So that was nice to see him be able to reel in those two very nice interceptions. And when the defense was able to force Brock Osweiler to take it downfield, that's exactly what happened throughout the entirety of the game. He couldn't complete anything downfield, and Kyle Fuller had two of those picks. So MVP goes to Kyle Fuller for the two interceptions.
Yeah, right after Kyle Fuller got that second interception, Trubisky threw a touchdown pass to Allen Robinson, so they capitalized on the turnover. So that's exactly what you want to see from the turnovers from the Bears that they did have. And my MVP, you know, I'll go with Mitch Trubisky. I thought he had a hell of a game, honestly. I know he had a really bad first half. It was mediocre. There weren't a lot of positives from it. The offense in general didn't do much of anything. I believe they were shut out 7-0 going into halftime. Yes. And then they started to turn around in that second half there. Mitch Trubisky was making some nice throws, making some nice reads, got the deep ball going to Taylor Gabriel, which was fantastic to see. We're looking at that ball just traveling the air from our vantage point, and you're thinking, this has a shot, and it just ends up going right into Gabriel's hands, which is really nice to see. So I'll give my MVP to Mitch Trubisky. And speaking of Mitch Trubisky, we'll go into our second quarter of our show, and where we talk about the offense, and we'll just continue the conversation on Trubisky. This offense obviously did not come out and start the game hot, which was disappointing to see. And in that first drive of the game, we see Mitch Trubisky miss a wide open Anthony Miller. This could have been the fourth time the Bears started an opening drive with a touchdown. Had he hit Anthony Miller in stride, there's no doubt in my mind, I think he can take that for six. So we saw him miss that, and then we see a couple of other times where he's making these across-the-field throws to maybe Tariq Cohen. One ended up being completed. One was nearly an interception. But overall, I think Mitch Trubisky had a really good game. You see that touchdown pass that I alluded to earlier to Allen Robinson, which was on that skinny post, and actually that's a throw that he missed earlier in the year against the Arizona Cardinals in Week 3. Where Trubisky threw it behind him, but this time it was right on the money. And you see that Mitch Trubisky slowly making the progression. And it's not only in the air, but also on the ground, where he's just able to run the ball effectively. Maybe is taking instead of giving the ball off to Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, he's just taking and running it himself. So Mitch Trubisky showed progressions. Yes, he had that red zone interception. He's going to learn from that. Rookies are going to make mistakes. He's going to learn not to throw across his body, because that will lead to bad things. But overall, I thought Mitch Trubisky played really well. Three touchdown passes. He put the team in positions to win, and you can't ask for more than that. What's your take on Mitch Trubisky from yesterday's game, Brandon?
I like the aggressiveness that he came out with. That first pass of the game, when he threw it into triple coverage and just missed Allen Robinson, like that ball was only where Allen Robinson was going to catch it. So I thought that showed a lot of moxie, a lot of cojones, I guess, to start the game, which I thought was a good sign. And I thought that's how the rest of the game was going to go, is just being able to see the aggressiveness from him. And that showed throughout that first drive, because he was long on every pass he had on that drive. You mentioned the one, the Anthony Miller. That's the other one that stands out. But outside of that, I mean, through I think it was somewhat of the play calling. I think that might have installed maybe a little too much again. It seemed like Trubisky just wasn't really comfortable, because when we looked up the stat line at one point in the game, Trubisky was 13 to 34, and we didn't even realize he threw 34 passes in the game to that point. So it just kind of goes to show you that I think that he might have still been a little bit overwhelmed and tried to do a little too much in that first half. And that's why they weren't able to capitalize on any other their opportunities that they had, because when the passes were completed to guys in space, they were trying to do too much, go too much east and west instead of north and south. So I think if they would have simplified the playbook, I mean, even with the bye week, I understand you have the extra week to be able to install some extra plays. But at the same time, he just does a whole lot better when he's comfortable and he's done things repeatedly. I mean, as anybody does. Those deep passes to Gabriel later in the game, as we've seen, I think those were just comfort things that he's done throughout practice. We've seen it in training camp from time to time. So those are things that he's capable of doing. He's had the repetition of. Now we're just putting it into the game finally. And I think there was just a little too much on his plate there in the first half. But I think once they simplified things and took shots downfield, I mean, the offense really opened up. So I really like the aggressiveness that he brought.
Yeah, and I agree. And Brandon, it's funny because I know we saw that on the big screen where it was like Trubisky was 10 of 33 or for whatever that stat was, right, but he finished 22 of 31. So I think that was an error on that screen, because that just didn't seem right. It wasn't right.
There was just something weird with that video board, because one, they had a roughing the passer and they called roughing the kicker like on the video board. So I think there was something up with that. But yeah, without really looking at his stat line, until just now, I thought that was just the one thing that came to my mind. So
yeah, no, I mean, that video board was weird. I wonder how else they skewed this game. Maybe not, just right. Kidding. But yeah, so Mitch Trubisky overall had a great game. We both agree. So let's move on to the running backs, who each, and it's bad that we remember this, they each had a fumble in this game, which really put a damper on the day for both of these backs. Jordan Howard was at the 2-yard line in the second quarter when the Bears, they hit. It was first started off by that long pass to Taylor Gabriel, and the Bears are right there. And you think Jordan Howard's just going to run right in, and he ends up running into Trey Burton, fumble, and then, yeah. So the Bears don't get any points before the half. Taylor Gabriel was utilized very effectively in the passing game, and that's exactly where, you know, we expected him to be utilized, just a guy that you can get out in space, a lot like how the Dolphins use their quick, speedy receivers. But Tariq Cohen, again, you just got to be able to hang on to that football. Obviously, being a smaller guy, there's going to be these big guys coming out to lay him out, and you just got to be able to hang on to the football. So the running backs, you know, overall, you want to see Jordan Howard utilize a little more. I feel like Matt Nagy, now 5 games into his Bears head coaching career, is still trying to figure it out, because we're not seeing enough of Jordan Howard. And I just don't think that when he's getting the ball, that the blocking's really as well as it should be. And again, that goes both ways. Jordan Howard is maybe missing some reads, but the offensive line overall, I think when he gets the ball, there's just not as many holes. I know towards the end of the game in overtime, they were making some good blocks for him, maybe springing free, but overall, I'm just not seeing a lot of good blocking when Jordan Howard's in the game. Do you feel differently about that, or what's your take on two running backs? And also, Benny Cunningham was in there for a couple plays, but mostly it was Howard and Cohen.
Yeah, Benny was in there, and especially at some times where we thought that Howard would get the ball. So we didn't know. I mean, I think the three of us were kind of looking at each other like, this should be a situation where we have Howard in instead of Benny. But regardless, Benny got in there, and he did a solid job, did what he was asked to do. Regarding the fumbles, especially looking at Howard, I mean, you could tell he was really disappointed by it. I mean, he didn't get up. He knew, he put his hands on his helmet, like, dang it, you know, and fumbles happen. It's just, that was a very, I guess there's really no good time to have a fumble, but when you talk about a really big missed opportunity in this game, that's one that I really look at. And we didn't see him much for the game after that until we got into overtime. And then we've seen that Jordan Howard looks like he puts up 1,000 yards. You know, has a 9-yard run in there, has an 8-yard run in there, has, you know, 5-6-yard runs scrambled in there as well in overtime. And that's the Jordan Howard that I think needs to be utilized later in games, because by that point, I mean, the offense, they came out and scored 21 quick points right out of halftime. The defense was on their heels. That was a point where I think they should have stressed running Jordan Howard a little bit more, not necessarily to be conservative, but just to try and get him going. And then it's going to open up the playbook for other things. And that could have opened up the play for, you know, another deep pass to Taylor Gabriel. Because after the one that you mentioned earlier, we didn't see very many deep passes at all. And that's, I mean, I don't know what that's accredited to. Maybe they're just prepared for more. But then you got to bring the defense back in with a couple other runs. And I think that's the point where you have to use Jordan Howard. Regarding Tariq Cohen's fumble, I kind of had to chuckle a little bit because he put on Twitter, you know, blame me for the loss, you know, bring it on. And I wouldn't, you know, it's not on solely Tariq Cohen. So I just want to throw that one out there that there's no need to place blame on him. But overall, he had a very good game. Just got in space and was able to do some special things. But one thing he really needs to work on, and we said this last year, he just tries to create too many big plays. He tried to do way more going east and west in the first half than he did going north and south. And once the Bears figured out you have to go north and south to score, they put up 21 points. So regarding the whole offense, I guess that's, you know, go north and south.
Yeah, and you made a great point there, because on that fourth down and one play, that's where we saw Tariq Cohen make too many moves, just hit the hole, go upfield, convert on that play. But obviously the Bears didn't do that. And then the Dolphins, you know, recover and or turnover on downs there. So that is a good point there. But overall, I think I'm impressed with what Tariq Cohen did. Just got to be secure with the football and make decisive cuts just to move upfield. But overall, I think he did well. And moving on to the pass catchers for yesterday's game, a guy that stood out to me, and he's really been making good plays all season, and I didn't really expect it early on, is Allen Robinson. And even though this play won't go on the stat sheet for Robinson, it was a one-on-one to the left side with Minkah Fitzpatrick. And this was coming, when was it? I think, believe, in the second half, where Trubisky just throws a deep ball to him, and he's one-on-one with a rookie DB, Minkah Fitzpatrick, a good player, but he ends up getting a pass interference call on that play. And, you know, that obviously doesn't go on the stat sheet, but that shows you what Allen Robinson can bring. And obviously he did score that touchdown, and he made a hell of a catch on the left sideline. And I remember, Brandon, I was talking to you right after it happened. I'm thinking that ball's just going out of bounds. I don't think Robinson can even catch that ball, but it ended up being perfect. His strong hands, hits the ground, is able to, you know, just caress the ball and, you know, make a really good catch. But Allen Robinson impressed me. Were there some guys that in particular impressed you? Are there any other receivers that you want to talk about?
I just want to say that I had Allen Robinson as my X factor for a reason, because once he got going, we've seen he really got going. But Taylor Gary was the other guy. I mean, he was just beating his guys downfield, which, I mean, we know that he could do, but then the fact that Trubisky is able to hit him, that's big. And if they can be able to continue to do that throughout the entirety of the year, the rest of this year, I mean, this offense is really, really going to open up. We're going to see a lot of other things open up that we may not have seen, because now the defenses know Trubisky can hit Taylor Gabriel deep. So while it may not have, I mean, it was big in this game, but it's going to play much bigger dividends down the road than just in the overtime loss in this one. We're going to see the defense have to be able to defend literally everything, because now they know Trubisky can't hit that pass. So that speaks volumes to me as far as Gabriel's speed. And we know he could do it, just a matter of seeing it now.
Exactly. And I think also just adding Anthony Miller in the equation, obviously he's coming back from that shoulder injury, but once he gets more involved in this offense, creates more mismatches. He's a great route runner, and he also scored in yesterday's game. But if you take away Gabriel, Robinson, and Miller, which obviously is not the easiest thing to do, three good receivers there, but the production really drops off for those receivers. We saw Kevin White lined up on there. We were jokingly saying, throw the fade to Kevin White one-on-one. He's going to go up and catch it. And then there was Josh Bellamy in there as well. But those two guys really haven't been a factor. They're just not seeing a lot of production. And I wonder, does that concern you at all that, let's say, Anthony Miller does miss more time because of that shoulder, an injury happens? Are you confident with the guys that can step up?
Yes, as I say, you know, not assuringly. I have a lot more faith in Josh Bellamy because we've seen it.
Yeah,
I was disappointed in his blocking effort and the one screen to Taylor Gabriel. And I think that was the only play that I seen him out there. So that was kind of a disappointment that he couldn't capitalize on his game time. But if I'm going to pick a guy, I'm going to say Josh Bellamy, just because we still have to see that game time production from Kevin White. I think Matt Nagy feels the same way. And it's hard when you don't get targeted. But like we pointed out in one of the routes, he ran a slant. I think, Nick, you pointed out to me that he ran a slant and he just kind of made his cut and then quit on the route.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, he's got to be able to show more on the field other than a half-assed, I was trying to find a different word, route to run there. So, I mean, he's got to be able to show that he wants to be out there as well. He's a good blocker. We've seen that, but he needs to be able to run good routes to get himself open, and then he'll be able to get the ball a little bit more. So.
No, I agree there. And we'll just talk about Trey Burton real quick, because that was really the only tight end that was actually utilized. I know on the interception that Trubisky threw, he's actually targeting Ben Brown. I think it was Ben Broniker on that throw, and we all know how that turned out. But Trey Burton, he's being utilized more and more each week. I think this was about the same as last week. He ended up with 4 receptions, 23 yards, so a little bit less, but he still ended up scoring on that shovel pass. The Bears love utilizing Burton and that shovel pass, and more times than not, it worked. They used it for the touchdown. They used it to convert on a 3rd-and-1, I believe. Just a little shovel pass to utilize Burton there. Do you have any more on the tight ends?
I'm really looking forward to Adam Shaheen coming back.
Same. Yes. I think the Bears are really missing him, because we saw Deion Sims out there, and you already know he's not getting the ball. He's just kind of right. He plays tight end. He fills that position, and that's about it. But I think the Bears are really missing Adam Shaheen. I think he can report earliest as week 7 or week 8. We're coming up on that. So hopefully, the Bears can manage without him for a little bit longer until he makes a return. But let's talk about this offensive line here, Brandon. This is a unit they lost. They definitely did. They kept Mitch Trubisky upright for the most part. I will say that. But trying to spring, these running backs open for running lanes. And obviously, Cohen had a very nice run to score the touchdown. But other than that, it just didn't seem like there was a lot of push.
They were really losing the point of attack, especially early on. That's why there was a lot of no offensive movement, I guess, going north and south, because guys are trying to go east and west trying to make moves because the offensive line's losing the point of attack right away. And there's one play that stands out to me where Trubisky fakes it to the running back and then turns his back to the routes being run and fakes a reverse end around or something or another like that. He has his back to the play at one point in this one, early in the first quarter. And I mean, I was worried at that point, because I'm like, he doesn't know what's coming to him, because these Dolphins like to run a lot of stunt moves, and I wouldn't be putting my back unless I'm from under center, in that situation, because the defensive line definitely won that first half for the Dolphins. Absolutely no doubt about it. There was no running game, very little. Mitch at some points was creating pressure for himself by scrambling out of the pocket, not getting rid of the ball. But at the same time, the offensive line has to be able to win the point of attack as a unit. And that's what we've seen in the second half when they were able to put up all those points. They came out firing and ready to go. But in the first half, I mean, they were slow getting out of the gate.
Yeah, I completely agree. And we saw James Daniels in there, and I don't think that really made too much of a difference overall for the offensive line. Just wasn't their best performance. He was solid. Yeah, it wasn't the best performance by the unit overall. And there were times where the tackles were just beat off the line of scrimmage, and Mitch Trubisky either has to throw the ball really quick or, take a sack. And the Dolphins front seven had more sacks than the Bears front seven. And I think that's a good segue in going into the third quarter and talking about this defense. And I don't know if it's worth breaking down each position, because what ended up happening there in Miami was just, it was astonishing. It just seemed like there was the pass rush was non-existent, which was crazy to see against, like we were saying, a battered offensive line for the Miami Dolphins. And everyone was expecting the Bears to just have their way with it. But no, once they took Khalil Mack out of the equation, and he had some kind of ankle injury, and I think Ian Rappaport tweeted earlier today that injury would have supposedly kept out most players out of the league, and just they would have been on the sideline. Take that with a grain of salt. I just don't think that you put that on Mac, and then the rest of the defense doesn't, for some reason, elevate their play. Because if Mac can't get going, someone else needs to step up. It's just not because Mac is not going, I don't I can't generate pass rush. Well, that's the terrible mindset, but that's what it seemed like it was yesterday. Keem Hicks didn't have his normal game. Leonard Floyd, the best thing he did, it wasn't even a good thing. It was just a fun play.
It was a penalty, but boy, it was really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that ended up making, I think it was Sun-Times or Tribune. It was just a picture of Roquan Smith and Leonard Floyd, Georgia Bulldogs, just slamming Danny Amendola. Just on his neck, basically. And look, not a good play because it was a 15-yard penalty, but it was kind of cool to see. I'm not going to lie. That you don't see a lot of people get flipped like that. And I think the Dolphins did end up scoring on that drive. So end up hurting the Bears. It wasn't good. Just kind of cool to see, in my opinion. But, I mean, what are your takeaways from this defense? Why I don't know why it ended up being, but you know, just take it away, Brandon. It was just astonishing to see, honestly.
First of all, the Floyd thing should have been the monster moment in the game.
True.
second of all, later in the game, I noticed that Osweiler was only making one or two reads. If his first hot route wasn't there, he's throwing it into the flat. Or if it's a designated screen pass, he's only going to that guy. I didn't see him make more than two reads, I think, throughout the entirety of the game. And those two interceptions he threw, there was a string of a bad series, I guess, for Osweiler, where he threw the first interception, Kyle Fuller. Next drive, he comes out there. It's a bootleg right, and everyone is covered downfield. He doesn't have an open guy in the flat. He's not going to throw across his body because that's a lot more work for him to do than Mitch Trubisky being 6'8" or 7 foot, whatever he is. So he throws that one out of bounds. And then the second interception of Kyle Fuller, I mean, all those were plays where he had to go downfield, and he couldn't do it. And the Bears just failed to adjust to be able to put guys into the flat. And there was the Albert Wilson touchdown. You pointed out before that play, oh, they took out Bryce Callahan. That's a dumb move. And it proved to be that way. So, I mean, they just really failed to adjust to get guys into the flat. And there were a couple times where I'm watching Khalil Mack. He takes one or two steps in to go get to the pass rusher or get to the quarterback, Osweiler. And he's immediately running out to the flat because he recognizes the play. But because the assignment is to go rush, he has to really go do that. But I think if they would have made an adjustment to put either Floyd or Mack out in the flat where the running back was at or where there's a potential screen, I think that really eliminates his options and it makes Osweiler have to think a little bit more. And there's just a failed adjustment, a lot of missed tackles. I mean, it's not just a failed adjustment thing, a lot of missed tackles, which I said in the previous show, these guys are quick. I didn't realize they were so slippery, but they have to be able to complete these open field tackles, and they just couldn't do it in this one.
Yeah, it's like the receivers for the Dolphins are just all greased up, and the Bears just didn't have any chance of catching them. But you made a good point about Osweiler, because I think Pro Football Focus came out with a statistic where out of his 380 yards, only 100 of them were from him throwing. The 280, the rest of the 280 yards were just his receivers making plays. That. Because, like you said, it was at the line of scrimmage. He was going east and west with his throws. They were short passes. Nothing was, if he did throw deep, intercepted. Or if there was even something over 10 yards, Kyle Fuller picked that off too. So it's not like Osweiler did not have a great game. Yes, he threw 28 for 44.
If you watch that game, he did not have a very good game at all.
No, I think you can ask any quarterback to throw these 5-yard passes and then have your receivers do what they did. Yeah, anybody can do that. But the Bears, and I also mentioned this to you just because, you know, Brandon, you were sitting there. We were just talking football the entire time. Yeah. But it was like, how does Vic Fangio not adjust to this? We've seen it in the past, even this year, where when teams hurry it up, make these short passes, that will do damage to this Bears defense. I just don't get, like, that seems such like a simplistic type of offense. Quick passes, you take away the pass rush, well, adjust, play up, take your outside linebackers, put them into coverage. I don't think it's that difficult, but for some reason, Vic Fangio has not figured it out. And I think it would be wrong of us to not also mention, and this is bad, but I think the weather also had to have played some kind of factor, because you saw Bears defenders, they look gassed. And it's,
by the end of the game, they were definitely.
You saw Akeem Hicks sometimes. He was just laying, like after plays were over with, he was just on the ground, just, you know, grasping for breath. And okay, every team's going to have to face different weather elements, but I just don't think the Bears were ready for it. I know I wasn't ready for it. I was sitting in the stands. So the team's got to adjust, and the Bears defense obviously didn't. I just don't know what else to say about this. I think it was just
really.
Go ahead.
I was actually. I'll take this a different way, I guess. Eddie Jackson had a good day, but he also had a bad day. And Amos, my guy, who's been real quiet all year, really did not have a good day. He needs to learn how to wrap up. I love seeing these big hits that he puts on guys, but he got hurdled a couple times. Kyle Fuller missed a couple tackles. He got hurdled a couple times. And part of it is because they're hitting these tight ends in the flat and the corners and safeties. I mean, it's hard for them to be able to stand up a guy who's bigger and not get, you know, looking like Chris Conte out there. So that's why they're going low, and that's why the tight ends are hurdling them, because they're just trying to bring him down, and they recognize that, hey, I've got the advantage here regardless how we do this, whether it's they try and stand me up or I just hurdle a guy. So there needed – I guess that needed to be a linebacker thing. But Danny Trevathan, too, just keep going on the missed tackles thing. He was over-pursuing all day long. So coming out of the bye week, I thought we'd see a little bit more fundamental tackling football in this one. Because if they make one of those tackles, I mean, this is a different game.
Yeah, for sure. I think Roquan Smith actually was one of the better tacklers, and he's been missing tackles earlier on this season. I think, honestly, the best play when you really think about this defense as a whole, and there weren't a lot of great plays, obviously Kyle Fuller's interceptions, but it had to be Akeem Hicks and the goal line stand where it forced the fumble on Kenyon Drake, at least giving the Bears a chance to go and, you know, kick the field. No.
You hear what I told Will before that play?
No, I didn't.
I looked at him. I said, they've been running the ball awfully well without any mistakes. Something has to happen here. And then he fumbled it. So,
and then so did. Too bad the Bears couldn't capitalize it. And I think we're done with the defense. We've talked about them long enough. This wasn't a game we were expecting from them. So let's go into the fourth quarter of our show. We'll do our quick hit on special teams. And it goes to that Cody Parkey field goal. What was it? I think it was 50. Was it 50 yards exact? Let's see.
It was pretty close.
It was 53-yard field goal is no good. But you know what I think it's interesting to talk about here is on that play, or leading up to that, the Bears were, you know, driving, moving the ball, and looking like an offense that wanted to do something. But the thing is, when it came to getting into overtime and playing, what Matt Nagy did was played a little conservative on that last play. Second down in overtime, and this is from Dan Weedier from the Chicago Tribune. He tweeted, second down in overtime, play right before Parkey's missed field goal. The Bears ran a play with none of the following players on the field. No Tariq Cohen, no Allen Robinson, no Taylor Gabriel, no Jordan Howard, no Anthony Miller. Who the hell is on offense?
And I didn't say who's on the field.
So on the field, instead it was three tight ends, Josh Bellamy and Benny Cunningham. So that's how you know. And I remember telling you this, Brandon. The Bears just need to play it aggressive. Do not play for the field goal. Play like you want to win this game for a touchdown. Because when you go conservative, that's exactly what happens. You're relying the entire game on your field goal kicker. And I know he's been better. Cody Parkey has been better. And he came from Miami Dolphins. But when you rely on your field goal kicker to win the game and you put in that personnel, you're asking for it. You need to be aggressive in that situation. If you're not going to look, Trubisky was right before that. Obviously he throws the touchdown pass to Anthony Miller. The offense was playing well. So you should have confidence in your quarterback to make a play or to at least do something, not have that personnel go out there. And are you really expecting to get a first down with those guys? That's where I have problems with how they handled overtime, because you're asking for it. And Cody Parkey, yes, he should. Well, he's familiar in that stadium. He knows how to kick there. He's made 50-yard field goals from there. But pressure gets to people, man. I know he said, I'm human, but you're being paid, what, $9 million or whatever it is to make that, for the Bears to win, for you to just silence your former team and leave Miami with a victory. But that didn't happen.
I don't know that he's hit one from 50 yet this year.
Not with the Bears. He has not, but right. I know he's done it with the Miami Dolphins, and the pressure got to him. The pressure got to him. So that's really unfortunate. And I think just moving forward, we've seen Nagy take his foot off the gas pedal there. He needs to keep it on there. He really does. And I think the Bears will not be in these situations moving forward. So
he hit the only highlight.
Yeah, I hit the only highlight on special teams. So now, is this where we kind of wrap it up here, Brandon, with our, is it?
I think this is where we wrap it up. Yeah.
Wrap it up, the 2-minute warning here. Yeah. What is your 2-minute warning? Obviously, the Bears are 3-2. They're still first in the NFC North, and I believe the Packers are losing right now. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if someone can maybe update me in the chat. I know CJ Beathard is going off, former Iowa Hawkeyes quarterback, current quarterback for the 49ers. I don't know if they're still winning, but it'd be nice to see. But the Bears are still in first. They're 3-2, and now they have the New England Patriots coming to town. What is your 2-minute warning for the rest of the season looking like, Brandon?
I wish we could talk a little bit more about the positives in this one, but I mean, since we're just kind of late on how we typically do, it's kind of a different type of post-game show. You're just kind of hitting on the highlights. But there's still a lot of good things to take away from this game. Seen a lot of good downfield passes. We've seen the offense be able to go from on or from off to on just with the halftime. So the adjustments there that were made. But regardless, still comes down to coaching a little bit here. Nagy's still a rookie coach, so we're going to get some of these growing pains like we've seen with the personnel that you wouldn't expect to be out there in overtime on that second down that Nick mentioned earlier. So we're gonna continue to see some of that stuff, unfortunately. But regardless, he's going to learn from it. He's going to grow from it. He's a very good self-evaluator. We've seen that with the halftime adjustments in this game. Defense was, just really disappointing. The open field tackling, that has to change. That absolutely has to change going forward. They're not going to be the defense that they once were. And the run defense for this defense as well. I mean, they lost the point of attack there on the defensive line because Kenyon Drake and Frank Gore seemed like 8-9 yards on every carry. And for the number one rush defense, that's definitely not what I was expecting. So that has to change just as far as how they go at it, I guess. I mean, it could have definitely been the heat. It could have been a whole bunch of different elements that we're not aware about. But that was just one thing for the whole game that really took me by surprise was how well they were able to run the ball on this defense. And that's something they're going to have to continue to emphasize. So that's something that I think they're going to shut down real quick. I don't think they allow New England to get, the rushing yards that Frank Gore got, especially at home next week. So still in a really good spot. I didn't really feel like I was losing confidence in this team. I mean, they were only down 7-0 in the first half, put up those 3 scores right away. I said, yep, we're in this, wipe our hands of it. This game's done. And they just kind of folded, whether it be the heat, not being able to play in it or whatever, their duration for the game. I can't think of the word that I want to use for that right now. It's not duration, but regardless, I mean, there's still a lot of positive takeaway from this. I'm not hanging my hat on this one because like I told the guys on the bus on the way back from the airport today, I said, Bears lost to the Dolphins in 85-06, so don't think we're off schedule yet. So just want to throw that one out. There's still a lot of positives take away from this one. We're not in the hole by any means on this one here, sitting at 3-2. So we're still in a good spot.
Still in a good spot is, I think, a good way to put it. And look, the Bears have lost 2 games by a total of 4 points. 4 points. So it's not like the Bears are getting blown out. And when I really look at this, I think it was just an anomaly of how this defense actually played. I don't think we see this performance ever again. I think this is their one gimme. This is their one, okay, you can mess up this bad, because I just have no way of seeing this defense play as bad as they did. The missed tackles, the effort sometimes, the heat getting to them, all these factors that contribute into, the Dolphins scoring 31 points. I don't think that happens, honestly. It was just, one of those games where everything went right for the Dolphins. Remember that tip pass? Like, that's how you know the day is going right for the Dolphins. Yep. And the defense wasn't going to be able to stop them. And offensively, you have to be happy with how Mitch Trubisky is playing. I know there are a lot of doubters, maybe 3 weeks ago before the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game, calling him a bust, but he's put together now 2 great games. I'm going to say great because I really thought he played really well in this one and also obviously the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game. So be happy about that. He's getting better. He's making the right choices. He's going to have some hiccups. He's a second-year quarterback in a new system with a new head coach. It's going to happen. But the offense is starting to get better. They just need to be able to put a full game together. That's what it is. And defensively, like I said, I don't think that happens again. So the Bears do have a very tough task, though. Tom Brady is ageless. He's a guy that is at any opportunity that he can take to, capitalize on mistakes, he's going to make them. And that Patriots team is rolling right now after beating the Chiefs. I think it was 43-40, a high-scoring affair. And I know Matt Nagy's going to look at that film because a lot of the things that the Chiefs do, the Bears will try to utilize and put points up against this Patriots defense that I think has allowed 40 straight points to the Chiefs for three straight consecutive times now. So I think Matt Nagy is going to really look in that film and try to find a way to stop Tom Brady. But I think the Bears can rebound. I think it's going to be a close one next week, but we'll definitely break that down later on in the week. And before we actually head out, make sure to send in your questions for the audio mailbag. We didn't get a chance to do that last week. It was a little strange, but you could do that by calling 872-240-4007. And that's 872-240-4007. Leave a voicemail. I know a lot of Bears fans have a lot of questions. How is this team doing? Where are they heading? What's it going to be the outcome?
Talk about it.
Yeah, exactly. So we want to talk about it. Please leave us a voicemail there. But we'll be back soon. We're going to break down another Meet the Opponents podcast soon. We don't have the date yet, but we'll definitely do that. And I'll obviously preview this matchup coming up against the Patriots at Soldier Field. But until next time, bear down, Chicago. Bear down.